Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior years shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. Last year, Joanne Jenkins, AARP CEO, published her book, Disrupt Aging, A Bold New Path to Living Your Best Life at Every Age. Since then, several articles about her and her book have been published. Today, I will offer a sampling of those articles with Get Set to Disrupt Aging. It's from the February-March AARP magazine and adapted from her book. To Disrupt Aging, Focus on Health, Wealth, and Self from AARP, May 2016, and most recently, Live to 100, Plan on It, all by Joanne herself. So get set to disrupt aging. I want to demolish our assumptions about getting older and help people understand that reaching 50, 60, 70, or beyond is not really about aging, it's about living. As my husband Frank and I entered the dining room of the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Virginia, I was feeling impatient, even a little bit on edge. We were there to celebrate my birthday, and not just any birthday, my 50th birthday. I had left all of the arrangements to Frank, something I would normally never do. The maitre d' led us through the dining room to a small table in the back. There had been a mix-up in our reservation, he said, apologizing as he seated us near the entrance to the kitchen. This is just great, I thought to myself. My husband brings me to this elegant hotel to celebrate my birthday, and we're going to have to put up with all of the banging from the kitchen. A few minutes later, the maitre d' returned and said he'd made a mistake and was moving us to a separate room. Reluctantly, I got up and we followed him back through the restaurant into a different room where, much to my surprise, I was greeted by about 30 of my dearest friends and colleagues wishing me happy birthday. My daughter Nicole was there, and Frank had even arranged for our son, Christian, to come home from college to attend the celebration. People don't withdraw from society because they become a certain age. Some aspects of life get a little bit tougher as you go along, and some get a little bit easier, but it's all part of being alive. There are 100 million shades of gray. How people age differs widely based on gender, race, and ethnicity. Older people are contributors, not burdens. People over 50 account for more than $7.1 trillion in U.S. annual economic activity, and by 2032, that is expected to rise to more than $13.5 trillion. Aging and longevity are spurring innovation. Americans over 50 grew up inspired by technology. We expect and demand products and services to meet our every need. The companies that make our lives easier will win in the marketplace. Our perceptions don't match reality. Most Americans see life after 50 as a period of decline, but the convergence of longer life expectancy and technological advances has given many of us 30 years of bonus time for growth and exploration. We had a wonderful time. I talked to my family, my friends, my colleagues from the Library of Congress, where I was the chief operating officer. They were all so proud of themselves for keeping this secret from me. Life doesn't get much better than this, I thought. Then I started opening my birthday cards. Happy 50th. You're now officially over the hill. Don't think of it as getting old. Think of it as the 32nd anniversary of your 18th birthday. You're not losing it. You're just not using it as often. Relax, turning 50 doesn't mean you're an old geezer. It means you're a young geezer. Well, at first I accepted these joke cards as part of the ritual of turning 50. That's what we do when people reach that milestone. We make fun of their age. We call them old. It's all done in the spirit of fun, isn't it? But as I thought more about the card's messages, I began to see a disconnect, and frankly, it bothered me. I had been feeling really good about my birthday and about where I was in life. And then I read those cards. They were meant to be humorous, but at the same time, they tried to make me feel over the hill, which was not the way I felt at all. I wasn't over the hill. I was on top of the mountain, and I liked being there. In fact, I was already beginning to think about what mountain I might climb next, and I knew I wasn't the only one who felt like that. Among the people who were in that room celebrating with me were many who had long ago passed their 50th birthdays and who were still finding new mountains to climb. I decided then and there that I didn't want to be defined by my age any more than I wanted to be defined by race, sex, or income. And honestly, I've grown a little tired of other people defining me that way. I refuse to allow outdated expectations of what people my age should do determine what I am going to do. Instead of apologizing for my age, or denying it, I decided to embrace it and make the most of it. Little did I know that I would soon be leaving the Library of Congress to join AARP, where I'd have the opportunity to help others do the same thing. I'll be the first to admit, deciding to embrace my age was not easy. The negative stereotypes of aging are so ingrained in our psyches, they're difficult to overcome. So most of us don't even try. We either just accept it and perpetuate the negative image, or, as is increasingly common, we just deny we are aging and fight it with all we've got. But I'll also admit, it was very satisfying. 2 years later, when I joined the staff of AARP Foundation, I was surprised by how many people could not understand why I would leave a job I loved to start a totally different career in a totally different field. For me, it was the next chapter in my well-established 5-year planning cycle. I had always wanted to run a nonprofit, but never in my wildest imagination did I think that heading up AARP Foundation would lead me to my current job as CEO of AARP, the largest nonprofit in the world. When I was deciding whether to make the leap to the foundation, my age never entered my mind, except that I thought I might not be old enough for AARP. It's time to change the stories we're telling ourselves about aging. Aging is one of life's great contradictions. It's everyone's dream to live to a ripe old age, but many people fear growing older. Our ability to live longer, healthier, more productive lives is one of mankind's greatest accomplishments, but we often see aging as more of a problem than an accomplishment. Our culture worships the fantasies of youth, yet we are being driven more and more by the realities of age. That's why, since becoming AARP CEO in September of 2014, I've been on a mission to disrupt aging. Much in the way the Silicon Valley entrepreneurs have disrupted whole industries, creating an Uber to upend taxicab business, say, or an Airbnb to challenge the hotels, I want to disrupt the way we age in America. I want to demolish our assumptions about getting older and help people understand that reaching 50, 60, 70, or beyond is not really about aging. It's about living. We've all seen those TV ads and in magazines, 50 is the new 30, or 60 is the new 40. While that may sound like a nice sentiment, as someone over 50, I don't agree with it at all. 50 is the new 50, and I, for one, like the looks of it. We're not becoming younger as we get older. We're redefining what it means to be our age. I don't want to be 30 again. Do you? Sure, I may sometimes wish I could look like I'm 30 and feel like I'm 30, but I've benefited from the experiences and wisdom the years since then have brought me. I am a more purposeful person because of my age. The idea of living a long life appeals to everyone. But the idea of getting old doesn't appeal to anyone, that quote from Andy Rooney. People 50 and older today face different challenges and have different goals that people in their 30s and 40s don't. We see the world through a lens shaped by life's ups and downs, by the wisdom gained from those understandings and experiences. We've come to have a better understanding of who we are as individuals. We like where we are, and we're looking forward to the years ahead. We are workers, we are caregivers, whether as adult children caring for older parents, or as parents caring for children, as grandparents taking care of grandkids, or as some combination of those. We are volunteers and philanthropists. We are leaders in our communities, supporters of our houses of worship, helping hands to our neighbors and friends. We are a generation of makers and doers who want to continue exploring our possibilities. We seek out opportunities and grab hold of them when we find them. In short, people 50 and older are still living in ways that reflect the attitudes, activism, and aspirations of the boomer generation. That optimism, that desire to live life on our own terms, to make a difference, to change the world, is very real. It confirms my belief that no one's possibilities should be limited by their age. Experience has value. But it's true that people over 50 face real challenges every day. Many struggle to meet their most basic needs: health care, financial security, caring for themselves and their families. They don't want to be defined or defeated by these challenges. They want to tackle them and get back into a position to take advantage of opportunities. We need to disrupt aging so we can help such people confront their challenges and embrace their opportunities to the fullest extent possible. That requires changing the conversation in this country so we embrace aging as something to look forward to, not something to fear. Everywhere, people are reinventing what it means to age. Last year, AARP joined with six other prominent aging organizations to study people's attitudes about aging. In a report called Gauging Aging, this consortium found that the American public largely sees aging as a process of deterioration, dependency, reduced potential, family dispersal, and digital incompetence. These deep and negative shared understandings make the process of aging something to be dreaded and fought against rather than embraced as a process that brings new opportunities and challenges, the report states. This is important because the negative stories we tell ourselves and one another about aging lead to negative behaviors that in turn create a negative reality of aging. The view of aging as decline becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. But the opposite would also be true. If we can change the conversation in this country about what it means to get older, we can change the reality, and change is long overdue. I believe that the three most important areas where action is needed for individuals and in our society are health, wealth, and self. In our health care, we need to begin to focus on physical and mental fitness instead of decline. We must work on preventing disease and improving well-being instead of just treating ailments. And we need to empower people to become active partners in their health care instead of passive patients. As for wealth, it doesn't mean becoming richer than you ever thought possible. It does mean having financial resilience to not outlive your money. As active, engaged, employed older population has the potential to be more of an economic boon to society than a drain on it. Workers over 50 can be a key driver of economic growth and innovation. Corporations, entrepreneurs, and small businesses are already beginning to view the aging population as an opportunity, a growing market for goods and services, a pool of untapped talent and resources, and a driving force behind economic and social creativity. Aging is not lost youth, but a new stage of opportunity and strength. That quote from Betty Friedan. Finally, we must change the way we view ourselves. We must reject the common notion that aging equals failing and instead look at aging as a process of continuous growth. Many older people feel cast aside. It's important to help them develop a sense of purpose and a positive self-image. The goal is to gain confidence in navigating life's transitions and see yourself as an integral part of society instead of being isolated from society. We who are over 50 can't do this alone. We have to bring all parts of society with us. There's a public role for government at all levels, a private role for businesses and organizations, and a personal role and responsibility for each of us, no matter our age. Fortunately, the movement to disrupt aging has already begun. As the boomers enter their 50s and 60s, they are upending age-based expectations every day, just as they have done in every other phase of their lives. Millennials are also challenging expectations by demanding work-life balance in their jobs and showing us all the benefits of a shared economic model. We live in a very exciting time. Most people turning 50 today can expect to live another 30-plus years. That's more time than they spent in childhood and adolescence, and for many, it's more time than they'll spend working. I believe we can create a society where all people can grow older knowing they'll have access to the care, information, and services they need to lead healthy lives with independence and dignity, where they'll have the financial resources and opportunities to match their longer life expectancy, and where they'll be seen as an integral and inspirational asset to society. Maya Angelou once said that at 50, each of us becomes the person we always wanted to be. I think that's true. I believe age and experience can expand the possibilities in life for every member of society. When we disrupt aging and embrace it as a part of life to look forward to, we can begin to discover the real possibilities for living the life of the person we've always wanted to be. And I hope you'll join me on this journey. And now to disrupt aging, focus on health, wealth, and self. Discover real possibilities and become the person you want to be. Again, by Joanne Jenkins. Today, it is socially unacceptable to ignore, ridicule, or stereotype someone based on gender, race, religion, or sexual orientation. Isn't it astonishing that there is no such hesitation to do any of these things based on someone's age? Especially at a time when so many people are living longer, more vibrant lives, how can ageism go unchallenged? It cannot. So, I'm on a mission to disrupt aging. I want to confront outdated beliefs and stereotypes and spark new solutions so more people can choose how they want to live and age. We need to fight against the ageist attitudes and perceptions that permeate our society, shape our culture, and sometimes contaminate our self-perceptions. I won't pretend that we aren't affected by the aging process. We are. But it's time to put aging in the proper perspective. Individuals and society most need changing in three areas: health, wealth, and self. Health. Healthcare needs an overhaul. We need an integrated approach that puts well-being at the center of our lives. As I see it, we need four major shifts. One, from a focus on physical and mental decline to physical and mental fitness. Two, from a primary focus on treatment to focus on disease prevention, health promotion, and well-being. Third, from being dependent patients to empowered users of health care, and from uncertain access to care to dependable access to care. As we strive to take control of our own health, we begin to take more responsibility for it. We look for better information to make healthier choices, and we search for tools that help us make changes that enhance our physical and mental well-being, not just treat our ailments. That's disrupting aging. Wealth. Today, we are living more active and engaged lives 20 to 30 years longer than our grandparents did. This takes more financial resources. It's no surprise, then, that one of the things we fear most is outliving our money. It's shocking that over half of all households nearing retirement have absolutely no retirement savings, and Social Security provides most of the retirement income for about half of all households headed by people age 65 and older. The time has come to change the conversation, or in many cases, start one, about preparing financially for our later years. A new holistic vision of financing our future expands from saving for retirement to enhancing our financial resilience throughout our lives. The goal is not just the absence of financial hardship or just squeaking by, it's having the means to accomplish your life goals and purpose. Self. We must change the way we view ourselves as we get older. from aging as decline to aging as continuous growth. Many older people feel cast aside. It's important that they develop a sense of purpose and positive self-image. The goal is to gain confidence in navigating life transitions and see ourselves as an integral part of society, rather than being isolated from society. As we go about designing our own lives, we need a new mindset, new skills, and perhaps most of all, courage. Too many people resist the transitions that come with age and never allow themselves to enjoy who they are. I urge you to embrace your age and be fearless. Once you do, you will be liberated to bring all of your experience and wisdom to design the life you want to live. I truly believe that age and experience can expand life's possibilities for every member of our society. When we embrace aging as something to look forward to instead of something to fear, we can begin to discover our real possibilities for becoming the person we've always wanted to be. We begin to build a society where all people are valued for who they are, not judged by how old they are. Again, I hope you'll join me on this journey to disrupt aging. Live to 100? Plan on it. Jean Calment was a typical woman of her time. Born in Arles, France in 1875, she lived a rather unremarkable life by most accounts, except for one thing. When she died in 1997 at the age of 122, she was on record as the oldest person to have ever lived. "I just kept getting older and couldn't help it," she once said. So, what does the extraordinary life of this ordinary woman have to do with us today? More than you might think. In her day, living to 100 was extremely rare. But today, in the United States, people 100 and over represent the second fastest growing age group in the country. The fastest? People over 85. Many 65-year-olds today will live well into their 90s. Think of it another way. A 10-year-old child today, maybe a grandchild, has a 50% chance to live to age 104. Some demographers have even speculated that the first person to ever live to be 150 is alive today. Now, I'm not suggesting that we should expect to live to 122, but as individuals and as a society, we need to prepare for a time when it is common to live to 100. We have to create a new mindset around aging and solutions for helping us live better as we live longer. Again, what I call disrupt aging. The three areas that are really important: health, wealth, and self. Beyond 100, the number of centenarians is projected to grow 12-fold between 2000 and 2060. Health. As we think about living to 100, we simply cannot continue to do the same things we've always been doing with regard to health. Our health has more to do with the choices we make each day and how we live our lives than it does with an occasional visit to the doctor's office. We're beginning to embrace a new vision and a new culture of health that focus more on preventing disease and emphasize well-being throughout our lives. Wealth. Yes, one of the things people fear most about living longer is that they will outlive their money. And unfortunately for many, this fear is a very real one, especially for many younger people who tend to view saving for retirement as an exercise in futility. What if instead of saving for retirement, we think of saving to do the things we've always wanted to do? In other words, saving not for the absence of financial hardship, but for the means to thrive and be able to afford to live the life you want to live. Saving for life. And self. Finally, we need to challenge outdated attitudes and stereotypes about aging. Research shows that our self-perceptions of aging influence not only how we age, but also our health status as we get older. More positive self-perceptions of aging are associated with living longer with less disability. We need to get rid of the outdated stereotypes about aging and spark new solutions so more of us can choose how we want to live as we age. For young people, living to 100 is not a pipe dream. It's a real possibility. And it's up to us to help them realize and prepare for it. Because Jean Calmet's strategy of just getting older because she couldn't help it isn't going to cut it. And now we're finishing up with Eric J. Schneidwin's AARP president, Planning to Live to 100, Volunteer. In science labs all over the world, researchers are exploring ways to delay the effects of aging and extend our years to healthy life. Already, we're living nearly 3 decades longer than the average of our ancestors a century ago. Well, what shall we do with all that extra time on Earth? I have an idea. Volunteer. Share your skills and your passion with others. Find a need and devote your time to filling it. It's the closest thing to a silver bullet we have discovered for personal and societal well-being. Most of us who have volunteered know the positive jolt of what's been called giver's high. But the benefits of contributing your talents to others goes beyond that transitory buzz. The obvious payoff is a good social done. A littered block becomes an urban garden, the hungry are fed, or social isolation is eased, among countless examples. Donating one's time to benefit others has deep individual value as well. A growing body of research tells us that those who volunteer have lower mortality rates and less depression, along with a greater sense of control over one's life and higher rates of self-esteem and happiness. Using health and volunteering data from the U.S. Census Bureau and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, one report found that states with a high volunteer rate even have lower incidences of heart disease. Some studies show that volunteers who devote about 100 hours or more per year to volunteer activities are most likely to experience health benefits. Findings indicate, in general, the older the volunteer, the greater the personal benefits of volunteering. Well, in the weeks to come, I'm going to present more from and about Joanne and others who are committed to enhancing the lives of our aging population. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Squyke. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for the show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Squyke. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.